Conference matchups are set, and the roster is officially official, even after a surprise on draft night. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and excited to have official schedule news and some surprises from the roster over the past couple of days, as well as the official signing of Montez Rupstavicius. Make sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network. Don't miss any updates from here on the Barn Hoops Podcast or any of our other great shows that are bringing you updates on Auburn football, especially the awesome recruiting cycle that is ongoing currently for the Tigers and Alex Golish. And as we trek through this offseason, through the summer, into September and October, and then November when this Auburn basketball season will get underway. And what we learned about this Auburn basketball season is the matchups in the SEC. Now, let's be real. Not really a surprise. Once you start to understand this, you'll see where things are the same every single year. The only news that we got that was news was Auburn will go to LSU and host LSU. That was the kind of what we were waiting on, was who will Auburn's third home and away opponent be. Alabama and Ole Miss, Auburn will play every single year, home and away. The rest of the teams in the SEC, all the Tigers' home games from last year are flipped to road games, and the road games are flipped to home games. So, I think that's the way it shakes out feels like a decent. So here's the thing. The SEC's tough. It always is going to be. Like LSU has been, quite frankly, awful the last few years. And now Will Wade comes in, and he's having to try and piece together a roster. You look at the NC State team he built last year. It was a pretty good one, but this LSU team is not going to be that way. This LSU team didn't go to a Final Four two seasons ago like the Wolfpack did. So this is a different situation for Will Wade. And me personally, I'm getting a little bit of Will Wade fatigue. I'm not ecstatic about this matchup. It's going to be a good one. It's not one that I think Auburn should shy away from. I think Auburn can go 2-0 against LSU this next season, assuming the LSU Tigers don't just take this massive jump with a lot of unknowns on their roster right now. So, it's a weird one. We saw them in Neville Arena last year. This is not anything groundbreaking or anything like that. Auburn handled NC State last year inside Neville Arena, that SEC-ACC Challenge matchup. So, let's list it off. Home and away, it's Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss. At home, so these were all the road games from last year. Auburn gets Florida, looking, Stephen Pearl looking to go 2-0. Against his friend, one of the coaches he grew up with in this industry, and a team that was a one seed last year and is the favorite to win the SEC title. Florida will be the SEC preseason favorite without a doubt in my mind. I think Arkansas will challenge them, but I think Florida will get a majority of those votes. Also at home is Georgia. Remember, Auburn did not face Georgia at home last year. That's the first time in who knows how long that's happened. So the Bulldogs make their return to Neville Arena. Another set of Bulldogs, Mississippi State, will come to Neville Arena led by Josh Hubbard. We remember what happened last year. That game might have been the one that it was that game or the Ole Miss game inside Neville Arena that you can look back on and think, man, there's no reason Auburn should have lost that game. And that's what costs the Tigers their NCAA tournament chances. Auburn will host Missouri, Oklahoma, and Tennessee as well. So really, the home slate, the highlights for me are, of course, Alabama. And I think the key there is we're going to learn the dates in a couple of months. I never remember, and I should have this ready, but end of August, early September is generally when I recall us getting those dates and times and TV assignments. So I think, as has been the case the last two seasons, Auburn will get Alabama at home on the final Saturday of the regular season. The Tigers went to Tuscaloosa last year on that Saturday, and the season prior was that epic overtime battle that Auburn lost to the Crimson Tide after already wrapping up the SEC championship and the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament. So I would expect that to be the case again this year. Even though with what I just said about LSU, that's going to be a marquee matchup that we're looking at. And then, of course, and Florida and Tennessee are always going to be big matchups when they come to Neville Arena. Then Georgia, considering the Bulldogs didn't come to Neville Arena last year and they made the NCAA tournament last year, that's all you can say after they got beat up by St. Louis. But I really think that those five games are going to be the marquee ones on the home schedule when we get to January, February, and the beginning of March. I hope that Alabama, Florida, and Tennessee are all three at least on a Saturday. It'd be great if you get LSU on a Saturday as well. Now for the road schedule. And this is where I think this is where Auburn's going to have to make its money next year, where if Auburn is to contend for an SEC title like the expectation is and how things have been in the past, I mean, and I say that as the expectation, as the coaching staff, this is what they expect. They're going to have to make some noise on the road. And quite frankly, did that at one point last year. Going to Florida and winning in the O-Dome for the first time in this century was a heck of an accomplishment. The defending national champions, a team you lost to the year prior in the Final Four. You need to have a couple of those moments this upcoming season, and you can't have the Mississippi State and the Oklahoma games. Those are the games that cost you at the end of the season, and you'll go to Arkansas. I think Arkansas will probably be second or picked to finish second in the SEC behind Florida. Then you go to Kentucky. That's a huge question mark as far as how the Wildcats are going to look. They bring in some high-end talent, but it was late in the game, and Mark Pope really felt the heat during that transfer portal period and for not working as quickly as Kentucky Wildcat fans would have liked. Auburn goes to South Carolina. Then Auburn goes to Texas as well. This Texas team is completely brand new under second-year head coach Sean Miller. The Longhorns spent a ton on the transfer portal, including former Auburn Tiger Elijah Freeman. He's probably going to be their starting wing this upcoming season. Then you go to Bucky McMillan and Texas A&M. I guarantee you that Keyshawn Murphy shot that didn't count this past season is going to be shown 1,000 times on that broadcast. It's going to be really annoying. And to add on to that, Texas A&M could take a step up as well next year. Then you go to Nashville, Auburn North, and visit Vanderbilt. That's where you visit another former Auburn Tiger with Sebastian Williams Adams. We know how, how good he can be and what his ceiling probably is and the potential that he possesses. I think that he could be a really solid 4-4 Vanderbilt. So we'll see how all that shakes out with the dates and everything. I don't want to sit here and try and put together, oh, this is where Auburn could finish, or these are the games that Auburn should win, can win, shouldn't win, can't win, or anything like that. Because I think that is all so dependent on where these games fall in the schedule. Because I think we saw that last year where Auburn had that really tough stretch from, I'm going to pull up the schedule just because I want to get this right. But there was that tough stretch that started with the Florida game. And Auburn won that game, which was awesome. And the Tigers felt like they were on top of the world. But from there is when things spiraled out of control. So yeah, Auburn beats Florida, survives against Texas and Dalen Swain. And then you had the six-game losing streak. Going to Tennessee, hosting Alabama, hosting Vanderbilt, at Arkansas, at Mississippi State. That Mississippi State game, I don't think Auburn loses if it's not on a five or whatever it was, four-game losing streak at that point. I think that's something you have to consider. When you get a lot of these good teams stacked up like this, it's going to lead to a two- or three-game losing streak at some point. Now, of course, last year it spiraled for Auburn and turned into five games. So you have to avoid that and not do that. And then, obviously, the following week you lose at Oklahoma and at home against Ole Miss. So I don't want to sit here and say, oh, I think Auburn can finish 12-6 or 13-5 or whatever it is, or the floor is 8-10 or 9-9. Because I don't know. I really don't. And I think, again, you look at the road teams, and Arkansas, Texas might end up being the two toughest tests on the road, but you can never count out Kentucky. And I think Texas A&M is a team that always, not always, but is right there and prime for a big step up with Bucky McMillan in his second season. And of course, Vanderbilt was a really good team last year as well and made it to the second round of the NCAA tournament. And when you go to Bart Torvik, he's put out his projections for the upcoming year, and it kind of lines up that way. Florida, Texas, Tennessee, Alabama, Arkansas are the top five in his projections. And just on the outside looking in, you got Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Georgia, and then Auburn just ahead of Missouri and Oklahoma. And when you look at the national rankings, it's kind of interesting because Florida's number two. And like I said, they're going to be picked to win the SEC. The hype is going to be all around Todd Golden and that returning core he brings back, Alex Cotton, Ruben Chinyelu, and so on. That team, listen, it would not shock me if that team just ran through the SEC, went, 14-4, 15-3, or something crazy like that. But then from there, it's a little more jumbled. Texas is 14th in the nation, Tennessee 17th, Alabama 19th, Arkansas 20, Vanderbilt 22, Kentucky 23, then Georgia and Auburn are just outside the top 30. So to me, that tells me that these analytics, and again, MarkTorvik.com, his preseason T ranked the projections for this upcoming season. It tells me it can't quite figure it out. And honestly, that's probably just because of all the new on every single team. Auburn brings back Tahad Pettiford and Kevin Overton, but you don't know anything outside of that. You know what they're going to bring to the table. At Alabama, you know what Amari Allen's going to bring to the table, but there's a lot of new guys on new faces on that team as well. And that's the same down the line. So I really think that obviously it'd be interesting to take a snapshot of this and figure it out from there. The bottom of the SEC is interesting too. I think Ole Miss T-Rank doesn't like at all. 72nd in the country and dead last in the SEC. Now Mississippi State beats the Rebels out by two spots, and South Carolina does it by three spots. So it's not like Ole Miss is really lagging behind. LSU's the one that doesn't make a lot of sense sitting at 52nd. Who knows what that team's going to look like? Truly, truly don't. And there's another aspect to that we're going to dive into in a few minutes here with the surprise of the draft a couple days ago. But I don't know. I think that this is a manageable schedule in the aspect that, hey, look, you don't have some absolute, it's balanced is the where I'm getting at with this. I think you've got two really tough road games at Arkansas and at Texas. Kentucky and Vanderbilt are going to be tough to play at. Vanderbilt because they're good and Kentucky because it's Kentucky. At home, it's similar. Florida, Tennessee, going to be really, really tough to play. Then Georgia, Missouri, how do they fare this year? And then I'm not counting the home and away opponents because, again, hopefully for Auburn's sake, Ole Miss is the worst team in the SEC and you get two easy wins there. You would have thought that last year. Not the case, though. And that comes into play where I gotta see when these games line up. That's not the end-all be-all, but I think that factors in quite a bit, especially if you get on like a three-game road stretch or anything like crazy like that, which maybe the SEC avoids that, but I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how that pans out. Again, I completely expect the Alabama game inside Neville Arena to take place on the final regular season Saturday of the season. That's what it's going to have to be. The way they've trimmed it with kind of a rivalry Saturday in the past couple of years, which I think is great for the sport. It's great for the SEC to have those teams face off and go at it. Like listen, if T-Rank is correct and Ole Miss and Mississippi State are the two worst teams in the SEC, that matchup's not going to have a ton of hype around it, but Mississippi State and Ole Miss going at it when they're the bottom two teams in the league is going to draw a lot more attention and have a lot more energy around it than a last place Ole Miss going to South Carolina, or 15th place Mississippi State going to Kentucky or hosting Kentucky even. Those games just aren't going to do it. Maybe I'm wrong about the Mississippi State Kentucky example, because Kentucky is Kentucky. But if they're going to Georgia or hosting Georgia, it just doesn't do it. So I hope that they continue that trend, and I think that's a great idea, and it makes the most sense with the SEC trying to take kind of this power move in college basketball. Very, very important. So that moves us on to kind of what this team's going to look like next year. We've known what it was going to look like. But the last couple of days have provided some interesting developments. One of them, again, not a surprise. Montez Rusevicius, he officially signs with the Auburn Tigers. It's announced by Auburn Men's Basketball on social media, and he's going to be here. If he's not already here, he'll be here today or early next week. But the one that has gotten to everyone, Narcisse Ngoi, drafted 57th overall in the NBA draft by the LA Clippers, technically the Hawks, but it's stupid the way the NBA draft does that. So the Los Angeles Clippers hold his draft rights. When Narcisse Ngoi, hopefully he has an incredible year and is going to have a chance at the NBA after this season if he doesn't have a couple of years. And there's another aspect to this with what the NCAA announced the other day. John Rothstein had some good reporting on it, and it was the age-based eligibility where you're not going to be able to play. You're going to have 5 years of eligibility, and it starts when you turn 19, pretty much is what it is. And I can find the exact reports to really break it down. But Ngoi now, he's drafted. If he goes to the NBA, the Clippers are going to be the ones that get to put him on their roster. And that's I don't know. This is something that is not unusual. Again, I could go down a whole rabbit hole about the NBA draft and what's wrong with it, yada, yada, yada. But part of it is this is just the first draft and stash in college. Drafting and stashing is not a new concept in the NBA with international prospects. For example, the New York Knicks made a couple trades on night one of the 2026 NBA draft. And part of that was a trade with the LA Lakers where they received the draft rights to the 57th pick in the 2014 NBA draft. Yes, 2014 NBA draft. And the draft rights to the 59th pick in the 2009 NBA draft. And both of those players were international prospects that the Lakers drafted for this exact reason. They're just dummy assets. So it's something for them down the road when you got to make it equal. Because like I said, the NBA just has these ridiculous rules about everything. They're able to just say, yeah, you hit these draft rights, even though these guys probably haven't played basketball in 5 years, or if they are, they are not going to come over and play for the New York Knicks. They just got those draft rights to say they did. And the reason that's the case and why that happens is because of the rule that when you're about to turn 22, you have to enter the NBA draft. And if you're an international prospect, that's an important note there. If you're an international prospect, you have to enter the draft before 2022. And you can't withdraw. Your name is on the draft board. You can be drafted. And that's why the Clippers are taking this flyer, because, hey, look, if he goes out and he averages a double-double in the SEC and 4 blocks per game or something crazy like that, wins SEC Defensive Player of the Year, they're going to look like geniuses. And it's going to be awesome for them. And then on the flip side, if it doesn't pan out and he's not very good and has no NBA aspirations, then you have those draft rights down the road that you can trade away as a dummy asset whenever you're trying to figure out what to do in the 2036 NBA draft. So I don't know. This is just, hey, look, this is the last thing I expected. I was hoping to hear Keyshawn Hall's name called. Keyshawn Hall signed an undrafted deal with the Miami Heat, and I believe Keyshawn Murphy went to the Bucks. That could be wrong. I'll double check that, but hope they have a good summer league and are able to earn themselves a two-way or 10-day contract. And that's the thing is, Murphy's going to the Wizards, so he'll join AJ DeMonsta in the nation's capital. But yeah, I mean, back to the Sim Goit, like this is, it's the first of its kind. It's not the first general stashing, but it's the first drafted stash in college. Because look, Ngoy's been committed to Auburn since before the NIT run ended. Like, this guy's been locked in with the Tigers, and he went on to say as much. I mean, he put it out there like, I was drafted thanks to this to the Clippers, but I'm going to Auburn. And that's because he knows that there's development to be had for himself. Even with dominating the French Pro B League, like winning those Defensive Player of the Year honors and averaging the double-double, he knows that doesn't just immediately translate to the NBA. He's got some work to do. And I don't know. It is funny just for this to happen. Of course, after everything that's happened in college basketball this past season, and you know what I'm talking about, that this would happen. And this is nothing Auburn can do about. Like, it's not like Auburn knew he was going to get drafted. And it's not like he's going to play professionally outside of his overseas career. But we've talked about that before and how comparable that is to the NBA. It's not, spoiler alert. But I don't know. It's in a way, I think it's kind of cool. Like, for Auburn to have this, like, we got this guy, and clearly the Clippers think highly of him and think he has a high ceiling and high potential. So they want to take a flyer on him and use a second round pick on him before he's even eligible, before he's even proven anything. But it's going to be really, really interesting. And Kevin Sweeney on Twitter at CBB_Central, it's College Basketball Central. He was kind of going to bat, like, because some guys are talking about the NCAA needs to make a change. Well, they can't. Sweeney says, Narcisse Ngoy was literally not allowed to withdraw from the draft. There's nothing the NCAA can or should be doing about this. It doesn't really even benefit Ngoy to have been drafted. Now he has no leverage and can only go to one team. If it was up to him, he'd likely have tried to withdraw and use his time at Auburn to try and improve his stock. And you can blame the NBA collective bargaining agreement for this. And that makes a lot of sense. Considering how screwed up the NBA draft is, that makes a lot of sense. And I really think that Ngoy does have that ability. I hope that he proves it this year and can develop a little bit more, because we can see that the defense is there and the height, the size, and everything. Now can the offense develop? And that's what you got to have to make it to the NBA. And another guy that, it's an international overseas player. We got the commitment over a month ago. It was Montez Roots-Devicius, and officially signing with Auburn earlier this week to complete the roster from Lithuania. And he was on the premier club of the Lithuanian Basketball League, and that makes it feel like, okay, this guy didn't have the flashiest numbers in this past season, 7.8 points per game, 2.5 rebounds, and 1.8 assists. This team finished 31-1 overall. So it's a pretty dang good team. And he did his role and helped win games. And we've broken him down. So, you know, scroll back in the channel, and whenever he committed, there's a full breakdown of what he brings to the table and why he's going to be so good. The quote that Coach Pearl has in the announcement, the press release on auburntigers.com, the word that stands out to me is versatility. And that's in a group of unique combination of size, shooting ability, versatility, and basketball IQ. So I think it kind of all ties in a little bit here. But the versatility, because of how he spaces the floor, because he can shoot the ball, because he slashes when he really needs to slash, he slashes and gets it done. The defense is going to have to improve, but look, if he has a strong basketball IQ, then I have faith in that happening when he learns his defense and learns his teammates as well. He will be here next week as his season has just come to a close. Like they were just playing over the past week or so. So that's why this was delayed a little bit. It was mostly delayed because of the NCAA and the age-based eligibility. So breaking that down, it was approved back on Tuesday. And here's how it reads from John Rothstein's report. Prospects starting in the fall 2027 will be age-based, only under the new guidelines. Prospects for the coming year and people with eligibility still remaining after 25 to 26, this upcoming season, will get whichever model works best for them. Schools will decide that in the coming months. So I think it's very interesting because that means next year the international transfer pool is going to shrink quite a bit. Anyone that is a little bit older, it's going to be tough for them to jump in to the college ranks. But that's been approved. It was announced by the NCAA also on Tuesday. It's not final until its meeting concludes next Wednesday. They're doing a lot of different changes and things like that. I'm sure there'll be other news that comes out of this that is worth eyeing and looking at. But back to Rustavicius. Yeah, he's been on a winning team. And that, I think, is as important as anything. You're not just bringing in some guy that dominated some scrubs and his team made the playoffs. Like, this team went 31-1. 31-1. Lost one game. And he's played on a mixture of different teams. And I think he played against some G League competition in a summer league kind of style thing. His Lithuanian team came over, played some of those kind of scrimmages games, similar to soccer friendlies. He also was on the national team for Lithuania in 2023. So, just kind of one of those guys that's going to round out this roster. And it's going to be an important piece with him being at the wing. How will he... He's going to be the one solid wing. Like, Thomas Dowd, I think, kind of translate more as a four than he does a wing. And then you've got your kind of your five guards with Todd Pettiford, Kevin Overton, George Kimball III, Simon Walker, and the freshman Caleb Williams. Those are all guards, solidly guards. Rustavicius is your small forward wing position. And then the rest of the roster, I think, is big men, either a four or a 7-foot center. And Goy and Oboye are your centers. And I think Dowd, Olsen, they're both more like a power forward rather than a wing. Now, with that being said, Dowd can clearly dribble the basketball and is good at that. Owen Freeman's I would call him a hybrid 4 and 5 for sure. I just don't think he's gonna play as much center because of the height you have between Ngoy and Oboye. And it's interesting to kind of go down the line of this press release by Auburn Men's Basketball on AuburnTigers.com. Here's how the 2026 to 27 signees are listed. Ngoy is listed as a center, 7'0". Buki Oboye is listed as a forward and a center. So that means that they want to use him at the four at times. And I think that goes back to the double big conversation that makes too much sense for this team to not use. Like, look at what it did for you in 2025 with Dylan Cardwell and Jani Broome leading the Tigers to a Final Four. Why not try it again? I don't know if either of these guys are either as talented or going to be a player of the year like Jani Broome, or are even the leaders that Dylan Cardwell was, that worked his absolute tail off for 5 years to get to that point. But I still think if these guys are close to that, that's a great strategy to implement with a guard like Todd Pettiford leading the charge. Then here's the interesting one. Adam Olsen listed as a guard and a forward. So I guess maybe he will play a little bit of wing we're going to find out. And I think that would probably be the case. Olsen is an absolute sharpshooter, and he showed that at South Alabama last year. Just doesn't play a lot of defense. And to get on the floor, you're going to have to play defense. That's going to be the most important thing for this coaching staff after last season and how poor it was defensively. That's another topic we've discussed at length over the past few weeks. So that's this roster. It's finalized. And now you have the matchups in the SEC. We just await some of those non-conference matchups and dates to be announced as well, because it's about full, but we're still waiting on some of those home games and those bye games as well. Right now, officially, it's Auburn, West Virginia, and the Players Era 8 in the two games that will follow that one, Kansas or UNLV on Wednesday, November 18th, and then the third game on the 19th. Then Auburn visits Clemson on December 1st for the SEC-ACC Challenge. So we only know three games that are taking place in November, and they're all part of the same multi-team event. Then the Rocky City Classic. Auburn plays Middle Tennessee in Huntsville. And then that Saturday in Nashville, Auburn and Wisconsin at Bridgestone Arena. So we don't know a whole lot officially about the schedule. We know Auburn's going to host Arizona at some point. And that's the kind of the game that I'm looking at. Like, all right, you're going to have to be ready early. Otherwise, you're going to get punched in the mouth a lot like you did last year at Arizona. But as those matchups are released and we learn about them and finalize more than just the roster, I can't wait to find out about these numbers, because, I mean, look, it's a brand new team. So kind of like last year, you learn new numbers. Like, we'll talk a little bit about that too. But overall, we'll break down the schedule as it's released and finalized, and kind of look at the ceiling and how this team can really take the next step. We've talked about defense, and I still think the offense could find another gear. It was great last year, but I think it teetered that line of elite, and that will be something to look at this upcoming year. If this team really comes together and has great chemistry, I think it could take that next step into the elite level like it has in several years, especially with Mike Burgemaster kind of being the offensive coordinator. That's going to help a lot, especially now that he's been here for so long, and the entire staff, quite frankly, being here so long has helped that in a big, big way. So again, make sure you're subscribed right here to the Barn Podcast Network. That's how you're going to get all your updates as it relates to Auburn basketball on the Barn Hoops Podcast right here with me. And then Auburn football recruiting is just awesome right now on all of our other shows. A little bit of Auburn baseball talk as some of that news comes through as well. Transfer portal ongoing. Butch Thompson looking to bounce back after another super regional loss. It's good that we're saying that in a disappointing fashion. We want to make it to Omaha. And then everything else that's going on around Auburn athletics, we'll have it covered right here on the Barn Podcast Network. So hit the like button on YouTube as well. Then wherever you listen to your podcast, and we'll be right there with all the Auburn updates. Thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.